Satan got up early this morning. He knew that he had a busy day ahead of him. He looked over the shoulder of the secretary of the Grace Bible Church last night as she typed the church bulletins, realized that the pastor was going to preach on Satan's response to the preaching of the Word. And he knew that he had a lot of work to get done before 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. He knew that he had to have a demon ready to do his work for each one who would be here at this hour. And he was on the job. He didn't sleep late. He had all of his crew checked out and in their assigned place at the assigned time. Because he knew that if people understood the message that the pastor were to bring, it would completely change their attitude toward the preaching of the Word. And it would change them as they submit to the authority of the Word of God. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord revealed to us what happens when the Word of God is preached. And our Lord, even though it were told in the form of a parable, was very clear and very explicit concerning Satan's work when the Word of God is proclaimed. The apostle, writing in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the depths of the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is living and powerful. And Satan knows that fact. And Satan knows, as you know, that it is the nature of that which is alive to reproduce itself. Live seed cannot lie dormant in the ground forever. Live seed, when allowed to remain in the good soil and watered by the rains from heaven, will germinate and will grow and will produce fruit. For we repeat, it is the nature of that which is living to reproduce itself. And since the Word of God is God's good seed, and it is living, the Word of God, when sown on prepared soil, will reproduce, and it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This was the confidence of the prophet Isaiah, when he writes in Isaiah 55, that God will prosper the word that is sown and will cause it to accomplish that for which God sends it forth. That was our Lord's teaching in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. For our Lord speaks of seed, verse 8, that fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Lest the disciples miss the import of this teaching, our Lord explained it in verse 23. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. There can be no missing the point that our Lord affirms the fact that when the Word of God, the good seed, falls upon a heart that has been prepared by the Spirit of God to receive that Word, there must be fruit. For since the Word of God is living and dynamic or powerful, it will reproduce itself. Satan is fully conscious of that fact. And whenever he anticipates that the word of God will be preached, he is present to do his work of snatching the seed away. Satan, of course, would rather not be bothered and not have to do this work of taking away the seed that has been sown. He would rather so control the one who is doing the preaching that something other than the good seed of the Word of God is proclaimed. Now think of the work that Satan has to go to. If there are 400 people present here this morning, and the Word of God in truth is planted in 400 hearts, he to accomplish his purpose and to prevent the Word of God from reproducing itself has to get into 400 different lives and take out that which has been sown. What an economy of operation it is if he can have 400 people together who think that they will be taught the truth of God and then have the speaker mouth some lie of the devil. He's only had to work with one individual instead of 400. But knowing that the Word of God will be proclaimed and that the truth of God will be declared, Satan has prepared so as to prevent the good seed of the Word from falling into the good ground so that it can bring forth fruit. In the third verse of Matthew 13, our Lord has declared that a sower went forth to sow. And he himself is the sower. This is explained to us in our Lord's explanation of the second parable in Matthew 13:36. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So we find that through men whom Christ has redeemed, he declares the Word of God, and the Word of God, as it is declared by Spirit-empowered men, is that good seed that Christ sends into the world to accomplish his own work. But just as soon as the Son of God causes the seed of the Word to be sown, Satan and Satan's minions leap into action. We find in the fourth verse, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The wayside, as our Lord taught the parable, was the path that would be trodden down along the edge of a field. At the edge of any man's field, there were set up marker stones. These stones separated boundaries. And so as to lose no profitable soil, the path that went right along the boundary line. And any passerby used that boundary line. And the soil was trodden down hard. It was never plowed. It became a firmly packed pathway. And in walking up and down the rows to scatter the seed by hand, the sower would cast the seed forth, and some of it would fall upon that hard packed pathway. There was no prepared soil that could receive it. Or in the Oriental method of sowing the seed, the soil was broken up. Then the seed was put upon it. And then the cultivating done to work the seed into the mulched soil. So here is unprepared ground. The seed falls on it. And it is open to any bird that comes along. And the birds followed the sower to snatch away the seed that fell along the wayside. Our Lord explained this part of his parable in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now I observe there are two things said about the good seed that fell along the wayside. First of all, it was not understood by the hearer. He understandeth it not. The second thing said about this seed is that Satan removes the seed that was sown so that it cannot germinate. It cannot reproduce itself. This reveals to us the first of Satan's stratagems in responding to the preaching of the Word of God. First of all, when the Word of God is proclaimed, Satan will blind the mind so that the hearer does not understand what is spoken. He imposes a blindness upon the individual so that he cannot comprehend the truth that is being enunciated. And then when an individual hears a truth that he does not understand, he is ready and quickly is willing to surrender that which he has heard but has not understood. You see, if Satan allows the seed to remain, that seed will germinate. The rains that fall from heaven will cause that seed to manifest its life. And where there is life, there is always the possibility of fruit. Satan's first objective, then, is to remove the Word of God from your consciousness, from your mind, so that when you hear it, proverbially, you let it go in one ear and out the other. And if you can just dismiss the Word of God and pay no attention to it, then you have prevented it from being watered so that it can produce fruit. Satan will blind your mind to the truth of the Word of God, if at all possible. But if that word, not understood, were allowed to remain, then it would germinate, and Satan's purpose would have been defeated, so that he attempts to remove the word that was sown from your memory, from your consciousness, from your heart, so that the Word has become the object of your affection. And where there is no Word, there can be no growth. And where there is no Word, there can be no fruit. Fruit in the life of an individual is dependent upon reception of the Word of God. May I emphasize that fact? Apart from a reception of the Word of God, there can be no fruit, because it is the Word of God that is the living seed. Now, in order to keep you from understanding and receiving the Word of God, Satan will substitute something, if he can. If you seem to be of a religious nature, and Satan sees you reach out your hand to pick up this book to get some light for some present problem, he'll slide the book off to one side and he'll put some word of men there, perhaps by some psychologist or some man who poses as a minister of the gospel, who will solve all of your problems apart from the Word of God. And how many of you have told me at one time or another, in your quest for the truths concerning Jesus Christ, you read something from some minister that had some vague promise of giving you peace with God or something else, and you read it avidly and eagerly, but found that it left you thirsty but did not satisfy you. Why? There was no life in it. It was not the seed of the Word of God. So Satan will divert you and turn you from the Word of God if at all possible. But there is nothing written, there is nothing that can be spoken that is seed other than the Word of God. Satan will bring you to the place where the Word of God will be proclaimed with an unprepared heart and an unprepared mind, if at all possible. He will fill your minds with so much trash that the Word of God can't penetrate. And a lot of you will not profit by the Word that was is being taught this morning, was taught in Sunday school, and is being proclaimed now because of what you did last night. You spent your time so filling your minds with that which is opposed to or contrary to the Word of God, or that which is lifeless, that your mind is so cluttered and filled the Word of God can't penetrate it. So Satan began his work to defeat this sermon this morning by what you did last evening. You didn't realize it. You thought you were having a good time or entertainment or relaxation or whatever you called it. You didn't realize Satan was getting you ready to hear a sermon so that the result would be the response that he wanted. Or he'll bring you together with some unconfessed sin. And where there is unconfessed sin, the Spirit of God has to occupy his attention in convicting, and he cannot do a work of teaching. The Spirit of God cannot and will not convict and teach at the same time. So if Satan can get you involved in some sin and bring you together where the Word of God will be preached with that sin unconfessed, Satan has made it impossible for you to understand and appropriate the Word of God. That unconfessed sin is a part of Satan's program of putting seed along the wayside. Or Satan will bring you into a congregation of believers with some antagonism, some bitterness toward another believer that gets you so occupied with that individual or with yourself or that affront that someone has done to you, that bitterness prevents the Spirit of God from watering the seed that was sown so as to produce fruit to God's glory. And that bitterness has so compacted the soil of your mind and your heart that you are unreceptive to the Word of God. Oh, there are many ways that Satan will bind us and control us and occupy our attention so that when we come together, we do not hear with understanding the Word of God. There is a second response to the Word. We read in verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because there was no deepness of earth. Now Satan has to work a little harder with this individual. Satan couldn't get him so occupied with himself or his mind filled up with trash so that he didn't hear the Word of God. Here is an individual who has resisted those temptations. He has cleared out his life by confession and is rightly related to other believers so that he can hear the Word of God without obstruction. And he hears it and he receives it, and it shows that it is living and it begins to reproduce itself. Now Satan has to take another tack. He has to use another method, because there the seed is, it's planted and it's growing, and it ultimately will produce fruit unless that growth is arrested. So what does he do? Well, we read in this fifth verse that it's like seed that falls among the stony places. What's that? If you go into verse 20, we have our Lord's explanation. He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here is an individual who heard the Word of God proclaimed, and he said, that word is like water to a thirsty soul. And he accepts it. He rejoices in it. And with this newfound love for the word and for the Lord whom the word reveals, he goes, let's say, to the office the next day, and he shares with someone there some truth that he has discovered from the Word of God. And he shares the joy that is his in coming to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And instead of having the same joyful response, this individual looks at him with skepticism, with doubt, with amazement. He finds that he receives not a warm affection, but a cold stare. And he says, what's happening? And the Word of God that had begun to grow is stifled because of the opposition, the indifference, the doubt that is expressed when he seeks to share with someone else his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord told the disciples in the upper room that persecutions must come. And our Lord warned about civil persecution, political persecution, religious persecution, persecution that would come from within a family as well as persecution from without. He was seeking to prepare the disciples for this method of attack of the evil one, who will seek to root out a growing word by persecution and by tribulation. How many individuals there are who have heard the Word of God, are convinced of its truth, and then turn back from the Word and from the place where the Word is preached because they begin to count what it will cost them to stand unreservedly for Jesus Christ? How many businessmen there are that have never grown spiritually because they are afraid of what it will cost them in business life if they give themselves completely to Jesus Christ, pattern their business according to His principles, and obey Him above all else? How many young people there are who have veiled the fact that they believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God because in school it may cost them something in the way of popularity or prestige? They will be considered queer, outmoded, squares, some other awful thing. And the Word of God that was sown became unproductive because after it began to grow and there was evidence that one's life was being molded and fashioned according to the Word of God, the individual said, I've got to build a fence around my life so that it doesn't show, lest it cost me something to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the third place, our Lord says in verse 7, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. And then our Lord explains that. Once again, this is the operation of Satan. And this is the third method that he uses to remove the Word of God from the life of an individual. In verse 22, our Lord said, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now here is a word that was planted. It couldn't be plucked up as on compacted earth before it germinated, for it has germinated. And here is a word that, planted as good seed, has grown. It has grown strong. It has even forced its way through the briars and the thicket so that it towers above them, and it is evident that even though growing in the midst of thorns, it is there. And now Satan has his hardest job. For he has got to root out a firmly planted and well-grown plant. Now, how will he do it? He tells us in verse 22, by getting us occupied with the cares or the responsibilities of this world, and he entices us with the deceitfulness of riches. And our Lord says that if Satan can't remove the word, or he can't uproot it when it's still a tender new shoot, if it has grown to the point that it is ready to bear fruit, Satan must give us some new objective in life, some new goal in life that supersedes the objectives and goals that we had from the Word of God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Satan's favorite method is to take a businessman, for instance, instead of demoting him as an act of persecution, he tried that and that didn't work. He promotes him. And he elevates him to a position of prominence and authority to the point that the man has become just too busy anymore to have any time for the Word of God. He gives him such responsibility in his business life, his professional life, that occupies his time completely. Or Satan, who had tried to test a man by poverty in his second method and found that temptation only drove the individual to the Word of God by support, will now reverse his tactics and make the man so rich that his riches have become a snare and he becomes so enmeshed in preserving and multiplying the things that have come to him that he again has no time for the Word of God. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches get us so occupied with ourselves and occupied with our material things and occupied with our position and station and responsibilities and accomplishments in life that the Word of God is neglected. Where the Word of God is neglected, there can be no fruit. Perhaps you have thought that the material and the positional blessings you have came from God. May I say to you, they may be Satan's snares. And they may be that which Satan is using in your life to root up the Word of God that is being preached, so that there should be no fruit in your life. May we say again, Satan does not care what you do, but he is vitally concerned with what you believe and what you know. He's going to let you do anything that you want to do, but he cannot let you believe the Word of God and receive the Word of God and fashion your life according to the Word of God, for to do so is to plant good seed in good soil that will be watered by the Spirit of God, which must produce its fruit in God's season. It would be strange indeed if some of you, since I began to preach, have not been in the business office settling tomorrow's problems and clearing up yesterday's. Some of you housewives have been at home and back again several times. You kids have been at school and gotten back here. You've thought about your vacation and how you're going to spend that time. You think that's the Spirit of God? No, the devil's buzzing around here just as busy as the proverbial bee to keep some truth of the Word of God from being planted. And that happens Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Every once in a while, somebody comes and apologizes for sleeping. A lot of people do it and don't apologize. You think that's God's peace that's lulling you to sleep? No. There was something that would be good seed that Satan couldn't stand to hear you hear. And so he put a temptation before you Saturday night. And he tried to persuade you that late, late show was going to be worth sitting up for. And you got hooked and you sat up for it and you slept during the Sunday morning service, and Satan looked at you while you were nodding and says, that's one I don't have to worry about. No seed being planted there this morning. and his work is being done. You see, in this first parable with its parts that Christ taught, he showed what Satan does when the Son of God plants his seed. He tries to snatch it out,
or he tries to remove it by some persecution or testing, or if it has grown strong, to get you so occupied with what you have and what you are and the responsibilities that you carry that the Word of God is neglected and put out of your life. But that's only half of his work. In verse 24, our Lord told a second parable that is the counterpart of this first one. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Just incidentally, the tare is a plant that imitates the wheat so perfectly that it is not until harvest time you can tell the difference between the two. The plants look exactly alike, except the tare never produces any grain. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. Now will you turn to our Lord's explanation, please? At verse 36, this was a mystery to the disciples, and they said, Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Now in our Lord's explanation, he gives us the second response of Satan to the ministry of the Word. God forbid that Satan should ever have access to the pulpit of Grace Bible Church to do his sowing from here. But I don't think Satan is unduly concerned that this is the Lord's pulpit. The Lord's servants proclaim the word of the Lord by the power of the Spirit from here. After all, this pulpit is only occupied about 2 hours a week. Satan has plenty of other time at his disposal, and he doesn't need the pulpit. But just as soon as your pastor says amen and steps down out of the pulpit, then Satan begins his work. And he does that work from the close of the morning service until the inception of the evening service, and then after the evening service until the next Sunday morning, unless you're among the chosen minority who take an hour out for the Word of God on Wednesday evening. He has all week long to do his sowing. And all week long, he is sowing a counter-sowing so as to choke out the Word of God that was preached on Sunday morning. Now, I think we often minimize this, that when we submit ourselves for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or however many hours it be, to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God in a regular service, we are subject to the sowing of Satan all the rest of the week long. And he's busy. One thing you can say about the old boy, he's not lazy. And he's not going to give up. And he's going to keep on sowing. And he's preparing his soil so that he can put his seed, so that it will bear his fruit. And every time you are turned away from the Word of God to the words of men, you're receiving his seed. Every time your mind is occupied with anything other than Jesus Christ, you are submitting to the seed of Satan. Every time you turn on that switch, you are leaving yourself open to Satan's sowing. And then you wonder why there's so little fruit in your life so little growth in your Christian experience. There can be no growth apart from sowing of the good seed. No growth apart from the Word of God. Now, the burden of my message to you this morning is this, that if Satan can possibly do so, he will snatch away any word or any truth that is proclaimed before it can germinate and grow. If you insist on retaining it in your consciousness, Satan will then seek to pull it up while it's still tender, bring some persecution or test into your life that will see if you will be diverted from the Word of God. If that Word is retained and begins to grow and come toward maturity and fruitfulness, he will try to choke it with responsibilities and material things so that it is even at that point of its development arrested so it does not come to fruit. But all during the day, in the waking hours of the night, Satan is busy sowing his seed so that your mind and your heart are constantly bombarded with the seed of Satan that he is sowing to choke out the good seed of the Word of God. Now, how do you explain the fruitfulness about which our Lord speaks? For he did say in Matthew 13:8, some fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And our Lord tells what it is in verse 23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth 100, some 60, and some 30. Will you notice, please, that in each instance in which the Lord said he sowed, the seed was the same. That by the wayside, that on stony ground, that among thorns, it was all identical seed. In each instance, the sower was the same. The Lord Jesus was doing the sowing. So you cannot explain the difference in either the sower or in the seed that was sown. There's only one difference, and that is the state of preparedness of the soil. The preparedness of the soil. No preparation in that which fell by the wayside. Scant preparation in that stony ground. Little preparation in that covered over with thorns. But there has been careful preparation in that which produced 160 and 30-fold. May I say to you that the product of the Word of God in your life is directly related to the preparation you have permitted the Spirit of God to do in your mind and heart when you put yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. And if you came with an unprepared heart, no understanding, the seed is gone. If you come with a life choked up with weeds, with sin, with bitterness, with jealousy, with strife, the Word will never come to fruit. But if you come to the Word of God with a life that has been prepared to receive the truth of the Word by the Spirit of God, the good seed sown by the Lord Jesus will produce its fruit. For it is living seed, and it must reproduce. I think it is obvious to you that a person who has never received Jesus Christ as his Savior can never understand and receive the Word of God. Satan wants to keep you bound in unbelief, lest the light of the Word of God should shine into your heart. and bring you a knowledge of Jesus Christ. For any who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior on the authority of the Word of God, I say Satan's goal is to keep you blinded so that you should not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For God has one method of salvation and one alone. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. For God gave His Son to die for you. He gave His Son to pay the debt that you owed to God. And that debt has been fully paid. For Christ's death covers all your sin. Satan doesn't want you to believe that, to accept that fact. And so when I offer you salvation through Jesus Christ, Satan is right there to say, no, don't believe it. Don't accept it. But I offer you Christ, who loved you, who died for you, who will save you if you will accept Him. Will you do this? Or will you continue to listen to Satan? We pray, our Father, that God the Holy Spirit gave us these portions of the Word may be pleased to teach us and instruct us out of what has been written, that we might recognize that Satan cannot permit the Word of God to be understood and loved and received and obeyed, and seeks to snatch it away. May the Spirit of God give us an ear to hear, the willingness to obey, that we might receive the good seed of the Word and then bear fruit to Thy glory. We pray for that one who has not received Christ as a personal Savior, that right now they might reach out and accept Your gift. May the riches of Thy grace, mercy, and peace rest and abide upon each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.